Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. Great to be back with you this week. The Hoosier Report each day, 11 a.m., complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. Thanks so much to Lee Kelly for filling in Thursday and Friday. But as we inch closer to basketball season, we are 10 days away until IU's exhibition game against Southern Indiana, and we are 15 days away from this Monday until the regular season opener against Chicago State. With the season here, I'm glad to be back, glad to dig in for another week, and I hope that you can be with us not only today, but every day this week at 11 a.m., and of course the replay most days at 3 p.m. as well, right here on the Big X Sports Radio. Let's look at the guest lineup. It's presented by Honey Baked Ham. Segment one, I'll have our Hoosier headlines. News of the day presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. In our headlines, we'll talk Keon Brooks. He was on an official visit this week to Kentucky, this weekend, I should say, to Kentucky. We'll talk IU football in our headline segment as well. So close against Penn State after a very disappointing game previous week hosting Iowa, but Indiana football so close to a big win. Now the pressure is on for bowl eligibility as the Hoosiers are 4-4 headed into next week's game at Minnesota. We'll talk about that. Also, how about Purdue? They not only beat Ohio State, they dominate Ohio State. Rondell Moore of New Albany finished his high school years, final 2 years at Trinity. Another unbelievable performance. That type of performance not only makes him one of the best freshmen in college football, but doing it on the stage he did Saturday makes him one of the best, if not the best, football freshman in college football. So unbelievable what he's doing at Purdue. We'll talk about that in a moment. Also, Nebraska gets a in-state recruit from Indiana, a name that was kind of beginning to enter the stage and maybe draw some interest from IU and others. We'll talk about that in our headline segment coming up here in just a moment. Also, later in the show, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, he joins me in segment two. We'll talk a lot about IU football and their loss to Penn State. Michael Penix with an injury. How serious does Zach think that that is? We'll also talk about IU playing on Friday night this week. I absolutely hate it. I'll talk about that too in a moment, but we'll talk with him about the Minnesota game coming up on Friday night and what Indiana's got to do to be bowl eligible. They're at a very critical point of the year. That and more with Zach. Also a little basketball with Zach as well when he joins us in segment two. Segment three, Chad Gilbert will join me, Charlestown's athletic director, IHSAA executive board member. Sectional football in the books for week one. We had one big upset. That's Charlestown going down. Marion Lukes obviously has been the star of the season with some of his performances and the stat lines that he's put up this year, but the Pirates come up short in a upset. They fall to Salem, who they had just beat a couple weeks ago at Salem as well. We'll talk that with Chad. We'll talk all the local football headlines and some other things with basketball season approaching. The start of the boys' high school season is coming up as well before too long, just in a couple weeks. Practices, official practices, I should say, this year can begin as teams have already been practicing now couple days a week since late August, at least most teams have. So getting into a great time of year, Chad will be with us to talk all of that and more. That's the guest lineups, service of Honey Baked Ham. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Keon Brooks took his official visit to Kentucky over the weekend. That is now 3 of 5 official visits in the books for Brooks. Still ahead, he has North Carolina coming up in a couple weeks on November 2nd, and he will finish out his 5 official visits with a trip to Michigan State in the middle of November on November 16th. For Keon Brooks this week, he got an opportunity to watch practice, obviously an opportunity to be wined and dined along with his parents by the UK coaching staff, including Coach Calipari. Lots of comments he's made to a couple different people since returning from the trip about the NBA selling job. That was the kind of the chief topic for him, about how Kentucky basketball will get you ready for the next level. But we'll see. This could be interesting. A lot of people don't have the feeling that Keon Brooks is a lock for Indiana like people think that Trace Jackson Davis is. I think everybody agrees Indiana is very much in the mix, but can they get past a Kentucky or a Michigan State or a North Carolina, other schools from this Midwestern area that he's still considering at this late point to get a commitment from him in his recruiting? The other thing interesting, not only about Keon Brooks, but Trace Jackson Davis as well, I'm not sure when their official visits are over with, and Trace has been on his 5. And when Keon finishes his 5th in the middle of November, I'm not sure that these guys are going to commit. This may be commitments to wherever they go that hold on a little bit into the high school season, into the new year perhaps, into the February or March months before a decision is made, both of them being coy with when they might be ready to announce their decision as well. So that will be interesting to follow. Headline number 2 today, IU football has got themselves, and we're going to talk a lot more about IU football in the next segment with Zach Osterman, but IU football has themselves in a position, a must-win position the next 2 weeks. As we sit today, they're 4-4 on the season. They are at Minnesota on Friday, which again, Friday, sectional football, big night of football coming up, and we've got IU football on a Friday night. I do not like that. I do not like college football. I hated when Big Ten football decided that they would play on some Fridays, and I hate that Indiana is playing on Friday. But Indiana at Minnesota this Friday, then they have a bye week, which is going to be important to get everyone healthy and ready for the Maryland game. Why the Maryland game? Because if they can beat Minnesota to pick up their 5th win of the season this week, this Friday, they have a week to get ready, get healthy for a win against Maryland that could mean bowl eligibility, because you've got at Michigan after that. We know Michigan's tough, especially at Michigan. That's going to be a tough one no matter how you cut it for IU football. And then you got Purdue. Yes, it's in Bloomington, but Purdue is turning the corner. Rondell Moore, the Purdue team, looking great against Ohio State, getting a big win over the Buckeyes on Saturday night. And that's a game you don't want to go in to that Purdue game with 5 wins looking for your 6th win to get to a bowl. You want to have that 6th win recorded previously. And the same, I think, goes for at Michigan as well. You want to have that 6th win recorded before you get to that point. Not that you're taking the foot off the pedal, not that you're not trying to win, but you know that you've got bowl eligibility no matter what happens in those 2 tough games to close out the regular season. Speaking of Purdue football, headline number 3 today is Rondell Moore, freshman of the week in the Big Ten Conference, 252 all-purpose yards in Purdue's win against Ohio State. That's the 6th time in 7 career games at Purdue that he has reached at least 112 all-purpose yards. He had a game-high 12 receptions for 120 yards and 2 touchdowns. He returned 3 kicks for 49 yards, rushed twice for 24 yards, and had a punt return for 9 yards. Third Freshman of the Week award for Rondell Moore. And, of course, if you don't know by now, he's a New Albany, Indiana kid. He won a state championship with New Albany basketball his sophomore year, transferred to Trinity for football reasons, played his final 2 seasons football only for Trinity, and, of course, has had a great start to his college football career. I mentioned this earlier, but Rondell had already solidified himself as one of the top freshmen in college football. There's no question about that, no argument about that. But when you do what he did against Ohio State and not another member of the Big Ten Conference or not another non-conference game, but you do it on national television and you do it against a team with a program with the name that Ohio State has, you become a candidate for major awards. You become not just one of the best freshmen in the country, but perhaps the best freshman in the country. He got all kind of praise during and after the game from media and others on social media during the game broadcast as well. What an opportunity he has to have an exciting career at Purdue, putting up some amazing yardage, just some amazing performances for Purdue. One other headline, our fourth and final headline today. I wanted to mention this. Nebraska has been very involved with a lot of players from Indiana, a lot of young players from Indiana. Obviously, they're a program in the Big Ten Conference that has some work to do to get, I'm sure, where they would like to be in the Big Ten standings each and every year. But there's a player from Lawrence Central in the Indianapolis area. He's a member of the 2020 class, which means he's a current junior. He's a wing forward. Name is DeAndre Davis. He's a player that had a really good spring and a really good summer, and he's just at that point where he's beginning to attract a lot of Division I interest. Now, most of that interest had been from mid-major schools, your Indiana State, your Ball States, that level of a Division I basketball program. Nebraska got in on him early, just as they offered Trey Coleman in Jeffersonville very early, and has been tracking him over the spring and summer, if not beyond. Davis took a visit to Nebraska for a football game over the weekend, and he committed to Nebraska over the weekend. And it's obviously a sign of a program that has connections to Indiana through Michael Lewis, Jasper product, former IU player, was an assistant coach at Butler for a number of seasons, now at Nebraska as the associate head coach. He's getting back to his roots, and he has recruited the state very, very hard. And it's interesting to see because Davis is someone, DeAndre Davis, perhaps, that has had his recruitment stayed open a bit longer. Would Indiana watch him more? They've obviously watched him and are familiar with him at this point. And as his stock rises in the state of Indiana, would the in-state schools like Indiana, maybe Purdue, maybe others get more involved with him? But he makes an early commitment to Nebraska, a little bit of a surprise, but he's a name to watch in this upcoming high school basketball season. And it's very interesting to see the approach by Nebraska. Obviously, they are trying to get back to the Midwest. They are trying to get into the state of Indiana, offering a number of young players. And, of course, they're the biggest school to date that has offered Trey Coleman of Jeffersonville. They kind of have taking a little risk with some players that are good players, good high school players. We'll play college basketball at the Division I level, there's no question about that. But jumping in on some guys that maybe at this point are generally being recruited by mid-majors for the most part to see if they can catch someone that can break through and be a high-level player. So interesting there, no question about it, that DeAndre Davis, a good commit for a school like Nebraska that's trying to find its way in the Big Ten Conference. Those are your Hoosier headlines for this Monday, October 22nd edition of the program. They are presented by Hoopsters Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Readers' Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. Don't forget, sectional football continues this Friday night. Kentuckiana Football Fridays rolls along for week two of the playoffs. Some good semifinal games. Floyd Central, Bedford North Lawrence will be one of our feature games this week. Obviously, Floyd Central with a tough task cut out as they try to compete with a very good Bedford team. Bedford is looking to get to the championship game with a win over Floyd Central, which would be a highly anticipated rematch between Columbus East and Bedford North Lawrence. Obviously, Providence as well. They move on in sectional play. They are looking to get to the championship game the following week if they can continue to win. A match with undefeated Paoli would be what the championship path would look like if Providence can win this week. So some good matchups coming up this week. We'll be tracking all of them right here on the Big X and our Kentuckiana Football Fridays programming. Don't forget about it, starting at 6 o'clock on Friday evening. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. We'll talk IU football, Michael Penix, his injury, bowl eligibility for the Hoosiers, how important the next 2 weeks are for IU to get bowl eligible before the Michigan and Purdue games. We'll also talk some IU basketball and Keon Brooks as well as he comes out of his official visit over the weekend to Kentucky. Stay with us for that, followed by Chad Gilbert, IHSA Executive Board Member, Charlestown Athletic Director, all coming your way in this Monday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Monday program. Zach Osterman, IU insider for the Indianapolis Star, our guest as normal, and we'll talk IU football and basketball in this segment. Zach, this IU football team, for me at least, it's really hard to get a read on them. They had a very disappointing loss a week ago at home. The week prior to that, they go on the road and battle with a very tough Ohio State team. And then this past Saturday, they're right in it with Penn State, a team right there at the top of the conference as well. So it's kind of been an up-and-down team. And when they play well, even if they don't win the game, they have the opportunity at times. They do look like a very, very solid football team. At other times, Zach, I'm just quite not sure what's going on. But nonetheless, another, I thought, strong performance from IU football, the type of IU football performance we need to see the rest of the way for this team to get bowl eligible and have a chance to compete in some of the games later on in the year.
Yeah, I mean, look, the reality is one of the signs of a bad team, or at least an inconsistent team, is what you talked about, which is the inability to kind of pinpoint performances week to week. Now, Iowa, if you take the season as a whole so far, feels a little bit like an outlier. I think the only real kind of, you know, similarity you'd find is maybe in the second half of the Rutgers performance. But in general, you know, we knew this was going to be a young team, and it is a young team. We knew it was a team that was going to have some growing pains this season, and one of those, I think, is maybe just finding a way to be consistently strong and figure out how to bring, not necessarily its, you know, its absolute best performance, but just bring, I guess you'd say, a plus performance week to week. And you're right. I mean, if Indiana can turn out the kinds of performances that it has against Penn State, against Ball State, even against Ohio State to a degree, against your Minnesotas and your Maryland's, maybe less so your Purdue's, now that we've seen quite what Purdue is capable of. But I think they've still got a chance to get bowl eligible. But it is, I think, reflective of a reality for this team, which is that it is maybe going to kind of be this inconsistent the rest of the way home.
Zach Osterman with the Indianapolis Star. We're talking about IU football's loss and a close one on Saturday hosting Penn State. Two quarterbacks used Saturday. There was some thought leading up to the game that maybe Michael Penix would get an opportunity. He does. Unfortunately, he has a lower leg injury of some sort that has not been defined, or his status, I guess, is still unknown at this point. But an interesting plan of attack, one that I think was needed given what happened the week before. You think, depending on the health of Penix, is it something where we could see that again? Could we see more of him? Or do you think they're still, and I'm saying they as in the coaching staff, still targeting that four games or less for the season, which would allow him to consider this year a redshirt year?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I'm guessing the staff still would like to target the red shirt, and that's assuming that Penix is healthy. You know, we're going to hear from Tom Allen a little bit later today. We always hear from him on Mondays. If I'm being honest, I don't have the best feeling about it. As somebody who's kind of seen this process play out before, it does feel just kind of the way the injury was suffered, kind of the vibe post-game. Everything about it feels just a little bit, just doesn't feel good. Feels kind of like something bad. But that said, we haven't heard from Tom Allen. And it could also be one, too. It's worth pointing out where it could be an injury that's maybe not something catastrophic, like a torn ligament, but there's only 5 weeks left in the season. So it could be something where maybe Michael Penix's season is over, but that's not necessarily, you know, oh, my gosh, he's out for 9 months. It's just, well, we probably don't have enough time to get him healed and then rehabbed and then back to full strength in time for the rest of this season. So the coaches, you know, who knows? The coaching staff's decision may be made for it. I thought Penix looked good. You know, I know he was only 9 of 19, but you could tell he was a little bit too amped up to begin. He was overthrowing a few passes, and I thought he settled in and played fairly well. I also thought he did provide a noticeable spark to Indiana's offense. And, look, I have been as much on the Peyton Ramsey bandwagon as anybody. And I'm not saying I'm getting off of it, but I do think that Michael Penix and what he was able to do against the Big Ten defense Saturday before the injury gives you some idea of his potential and just how high his ceiling is. And I think that's, in one way, that's not a surprise. Look, we go back to preseason camp, and I think you and I had these conversations. I know I said this elsewhere. Penix, to my mind, has always had the most potential. He's always had the best tools as a quarterback. It's just a question of whether or not you want him to really be tapping into that as a freshman, or whether you want to try and maybe limit him a little bit this year and grow him and give him the red shirt year and then let him really, you know, over the next 2 or 3 years kind of attack the position from maybe a standpoint of more experience. And again, you know, the decision may be made for the staff. Like I said, nothing's official yet. I don't have any, you know, firm diagnosis or anything. I just, having watched these kind of injuries play out and things like that, the way that it did and just sort of the nature of everything around it just kind of felt a little bit ominous, I guess. Ominous is probably a strong word, you know. I mean, it's not like this isn't the breakdown of some foreign treaty, but I think you know what I mean, that it wouldn't surprise me, I guess, to learn that it's more than just, hey, he's day-to-day and we'll see where it goes. But, again, the other thing I'd say is it could be one where even if it ends the season, it's not necessarily a serious grave thing. It's just that, hey, it's October 22nd. We just don't have a lot of season left.
Absolutely. Zach Ostrom in the Indianapolis Star. Zach is with us. Monday's a great way to begin the week from an IU perspective here on the show. Zach, I want to look ahead for a moment because this Indiana team, as we sit here on Monday, October 22nd, is 4-4 on the season. They've got to get to 6 to become bowl eligible. There was a point a few weeks ago where we were talking about, hey, we think they can get to 6, perhaps even 7, and make this somewhat of a monumental season as far as what I always talk about on this show of taking the next step for IU football. And the more and more I look at this thing with what we saw happen in college football over the weekend, I'm talking about Purdue's dominance over Ohio State, which kind of came out of nowhere to a lot of people. The next 2 weeks, IU is at Minnesota on Friday, which I want to talk about that in a moment as well, because I absolutely hate football, Big Ten football on Fridays, especially IU on Fridays competing against our high school playoffs in the state. Then the following week, Indiana hosts Maryland before playing Michigan and Purdue to close out the season. To me, we've talked a lot about the Ohio State game. The Iowa game was kind of a pivotal game at home. Penn State, obviously a big opportunity at home. But these next 2 weeks are huge just from the fact that those are two wins that you really need to become bowl eligible before you play at Michigan, which will not be easy, and you play a Purdue game to close out the regular season that appears to be making some big gains of its own.
Yeah, actually, I think there's one even more important thing to point out there, which is that Indiana actually doesn't play Maryland next week. It has a bye next week. So you get Minnesota on the road, and you're right about the way Purdue is playing. That suddenly looks like basically a cannot possibly lose if you want to get bowl eligible kind of game. So that's number one, and you're going to have to do it on a short week. You're going to have to do it, as you said, on a Friday night. Tom Allen, I think, it's fair to say, with you as an ex-high school coach, he's been vocal about the fact that he'll play whenever he has to, but he doesn't like the idea of Friday night games competing with high school football. I think Friday nights should belong to high school football. I think, broadly speaking, I probably agree with him. But then Indiana actually has a bye, and I think it's worth pointing out, because if you can, and look, they've got to win this weekend in Minnesota. I don't think anybody would deny that. But if they can win, if they do win, then you get an entire week to rest and prep for Maryland, a game that could make you bowl eligible and could, you know, sort of sew the whole thing up forever and aye before you have to play Michigan on the road or Purdue at home. And then maybe you're going into the Purdue game with, you know, a chance to say, hey, Purdue's playing well, whatever, but we're 6-5. If we win this game, then we do, for all of the angst about the Iowa performance, for all the frustration of Penn State, we still get to look at this season as a really positive season. It was a rebuilding year. It was a young roster. There was a lot of guys having to step into big roles for the first time in their careers, and we still found a way to get to a bowl, maybe even get to 7 wins. I think these next 3 weeks are absolutely pivotal, starting with Friday night. If they win Friday night, then I would like their chances personally to go through the bye week, get rested up, and get a tired Maryland team on November 10th at home and finish bowl eligibility off. But if they don't win Friday, then you do kind of start to – it kind of starts to be one of those where, yes, you have the bye week, but you go into the bye week 1-4 in the conference. You're going to watch what Purdue's doing. You're obviously going to have healthy respect for what's going on at Michigan right now. And you're going to have a 4-game losing streak that you have to nurse through an entire extra week. Sometimes when you're losing, you just want to play. You know, and you just want to play until you can win and break that streak. I think that's true of athletes in just about every sport. And if you can't get a win Friday night, then the road steepens considerably, certainly from just a numbers perspective. But I also would think at least somewhat from, you know, kind of an emotional perspective as well.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, my guest. Let's talk for a moment about Purdue. Their win over Ohio State, I don't think it was a complete shock that they beat Ohio State, although some may say it was. How they beat Ohio State, to me, the margin they beat Ohio State by was what the big surprise was to me. And, of course, we have a local player from New Albany originally, Rondale Moore, who continues to be one of the best freshmen in college football. It's just amazing some of the runs and some of the performances that he's strung together so far this season as a freshman. They've got some things going in the right direction there, and if you're an IU fan or not, it's not hard to deny that. You really can't deny it at this point that Jeff Brohm really is turning a corner at Purdue.
No, I mean, I think that corner's been turned at this point. I mean, Rondale Moore is an electric player. I know nobody needs me to tell them that, but I think sometimes you get guys who are really good in high school. I think he was like a 4-star, maybe top 175 type player. If I'm not mistaken, he was an All-American, an Army All-American. But, you know, it's not like anybody saw this guy as one of the biggest impact freshmen in the country in the last class. Sometimes I think we just kind of like can get too much into figuring out exactly where a guy fits and ignore just electric playmaking ability. I mean, that guy's got it. And he's been fun to watch since their opening night against Northwestern. And strangely, in some ways, I think Purdue has kind of done a little bit of what I thought Indiana would do, which is, you know, they lost a decent amount from last season, especially on defense, and it showed early. They started 0-3, but they have just kind of steadily pulled everything back together. You know, they lost to I'd love to know the last team that lost to Eastern Michigan and then beat Ohio State by, what, 29
yes,
points in the same
yes.
season?
Good point.
They steadily and this is very much a reflection to me of Jeff Brohm and his coaching staff, the ability to start 0-3 but keep everything together such that you just start making incremental gains. You beat a good Boston College team to get to 1-3. You don't lose focus. You get back into conference play. You know, they beat up on Illinois, exactly like they should have. And I think, it's never all one or the other. I think it's fair at this point to have some serious conversations about the direction Ohio State's heading in. You know, this is the second straight year Ohio State's gone on the road as a significant favorite to a Big Ten West opponent and really gotten smacked around. And you couple that with everything that happened off the field with Ohio State in the preseason and Urban Meyer and Zach Smith and I think it's fair to maybe start asking some questions about just the structure of the program and whether or not maybe the program is headed in the right direction, whether or not there's some things that need to be refreshed. And I know that, you know, at the end of the day, that's not really something that probably your listeners care as much about. But it's always a little bit of both. And to me, Saturday night was kind of, I mean, everybody knew Jeff Brohm was a great coach. Everybody knew what he did. Everybody saw what he did last year at Purdue. Everybody's seeing what he's been doing in recruiting. Saturday felt a little bit like kind of the masterstroke to say, this is what my teams can be capable of. And I'm not saying he's going to win a national title at Purdue or anything like that. Look, the right SEC job opens up and they may throw enough money at him that he doesn't spend another season at Purdue. And I know there's always going to be the Louisville chatter as well, but that is very much kind of I'm the real deal and I can make teams, I can build teams that believe in themselves and can perform like they're the real deal. It was that kind of performance. And I've struggled to, it feels a little bit like Steve Spurrier at Duke, that kind of thing. And I know that's old now. That kind of thing that, like, look what I can do, even at a place that doesn't have nearly the historical advantages of, like, an Ohio State. Look what I can do to an Ohio State in that place. I think it was a heck of a win. I mean, it was one of those kind of jaw droppers, the way the bottom fell out in the fourth quarter. I was doing a little work on my sofa after the IU game and just kind of had it on in the background. But at the same time, it wasn't fluky. I mean, and that's kind of the biggest thing you look at. It wasn't like there were a couple of weird turnovers and a fumbled punt. Purdue earned every single inch of that upset, and they did it in style.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, with us Monday. Zach, final topic, final question. 10 days away from the opener, the USI Southern Indiana game at Assembly Hall, and then, of course, 15 days away from today from the regular season opener against Chicago State. That's all. Chicago State was in action in a closed scrimmage against IUPUI over the weekend. The college basketball season, Zach, that we've been talking so much about, really since Romeo Langford's commitment back at the end of April, is finally up on us. We're almost there.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. It is absolutely that time of the year, and it always feels strange. It always kind of feels like it comes up fast. And I think this year it feels like it comes up a little bit faster because we did Hoosier Hysteria so early, and there's just been this like long break that you almost felt like it just wasn't coming. But I mean, look, we're barely more than a month away from Indiana Duke, Cameron Indoor in Durham. I mean, that's it's not even like the forget exhibitions and things. We're that close to the Big Ten ACC Challenge. Less than a month away from Maui. And I know Indiana's not going to Maui, but my point is it's just that's like how quickly this thing's going to accelerate once it gets started. And I know that this stuff always happens every year. These things generally fall on the same dates and all that. But like that, I mean, it's going to move. It always feels like it moves so quickly at the beginning. And I think that you're right, particularly at a place like Indiana where expectations have been so high for so long. And where, the other thing about this team is, as much as expectations are high, as much as you've got Juwan Morgan and Romeo Langford and Justin Smith and whatever, there's still a lot of questions to be answered about this team. And I think that's maybe part of the other part of anticipating this team is it's not like you know exactly what it's going to look like on opening night, and you certainly don't know if it's going to look the same, at Duke. You don't know if it's going to look the same once Big Ten play begins in earnest in January. And so I think that's part of the anticipation too, is that, we can have an hour long conversation about all the different questions that are still unanswered about this team and where it's going from here. And so I think it's certainly exciting, even for somebody in my position, just to start to maybe kind of figure out that story and tell that story and get those answers. But I think it's also just one of those where it feels like it's just going to go 0 to 75 miles an hour, almost right out of the gate.
Zach, final thing. I'm lying here. I'm adding one thing on. Keon Brooks took an official visit to Kentucky over the weekend. Obviously, Indiana, a big player in his recruitment. He's a recruit along with Trace Jackson Davis that we probably have discussed more on this show each and every day like we did, similar to the Romeo saga that unfolded back last spring. But a visit to Kentucky is always a little concerning, I think, for Indiana fans because of the facilities and the fan interest matches what a lot of it is like in Indiana, and obviously the fact that they've had success and Coach Cal has a track record of being a great recruiter as well with a lot to sell for players. So we'll see how this visit impacts his recruitment. I think he still has North Carolina to go, and then I think that's it for him before all five of his officials are wrapped up. But any thought on his recruitment coming out of the UK visit over the weekend?
I think the biggest thing is it's maybe the same that you sort of felt with Darius Garland and maybe Romeo to an extent after the officials last season, which is I think fans can watch a guy take his official visit, especially at something like Hoosier Hysteria, and just think, well, how could he possibly not go to Indiana? You know, look at how much fun he's having. Look at how cool this is. Look at everything around him. But it's a reminder that everybody's got their own red carpet and that everybody is going to be able to tell their own story to a recruit, whether it's Indiana or Kentucky or North Carolina or Michigan State or you know, whoever else. I know Trace Jackson Davis obviously still has UCLA involved as well. And it can be really easy when you start to sort of draw up fantasy recruiting class lists and say, well, he'll commit, to forget, you know, that there's other programs out there with great selling points and facilities and coaches and all those different things. So I'm not predicting Keon Brooks isn't going to Indiana. I think Indiana still has, by my perception of it anyway, a really good shot in his recruitment. I'm just saying it's a reminder that Indiana's not the only blue blood out there. And when you can be a serious player for talent at that level, then you're going to have to contend with other serious programs. And I think maybe – you know, just to one extent, certainly it speaks to maybe where Archie Miller has gotten Indiana in a short period of time. You know, he only took the job basically, about 19 months ago, 17 months ago, something like that, that he's already got Indiana on equal recruiting footing with your, you know, Kansases and Dukes and North Carolinas and Kentuckys. But once you get to this upper echelon and you start to be one of several great offers rather than maybe the best of a bunch of good offers, you know, it's one where you're going to have to sweat the consequences just a little bit more. And I think that's what Indiana fans are going to have to remember with Brooks and Trace Jackson Davis.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, with us on Mondays. Zach, as always, great stuff. Thanks for the visit today. We'll talk with you again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back and talk some of the sectional football action from Friday night, some other Southern Indiana headlines, with Chad Gilbert, Charlestown's athletic director and IHSAA executive board member, after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, back with you. Final segment on this Monday. Couple notes coming out of Bloomington just moments ago from Coach Tom Allen's weekly press conference. Freshman quarterback, backup quarterback, I guess is the correct term, Michael Penix will miss the rest of the season. He has an ACL tear, according to Coach Tom Allen. He should be available for spring football. Obviously, he could be a key part of IU's football team next season. Coach Allen also said just earlier that Reese Taylor, Indiana's Mr. Football from Ben Davis last year, is now going to be the backup quarterback with Penix out for the season. And also, just a note, I kind of complained earlier about college football on Friday nights, especially Big Ten football, and Indiana with a Friday night football game against at Minnesota. Coach Allen actually addressed that at his press conference, that he will play when he needs to play, but would prefer to leave Friday nights for high school games. Chad Gilbert is with me. Chad is the Charlestown Athletic Director and IHSAA Executive Board member. He's with me on Mondays. We talk through Southern Indiana sports headlines. And Chad Gilbert, I'm sure you fall in line with that thought that let's leave Friday night, especially in October with sectionals really getting in the good round of semifinals this week. Indiana's going to be playing a football game at the same time. Let's leave that night. Let's leave these Friday nights for high school football.
Absolutely. Football for high school is it's tradition. You know, it's Friday night, Friday night lights. That's for high school football. For colleges to do that, understand the schedules, do what they do. But Saturdays are, you know, traditionally for college football, and there, you know, those two things kind of go hand in hand with each other. So, like you said, you know, let's leave Friday nights for the high school football and go with it. But this time of year, Matt, lots of injuries like you touched upon. And in the college game, it's about depth. You got to have some depth because we're hitting that grind, you know, about the midway point where guys are going out. And this is where your 3 and 4s in the depth chart get an opportunity to step up and make some plays. So, exciting time in that regard, but you know, as far as the Thursdays and Fridays go, you know, be careful on that one. But one thing that I will add on that, Matt, is Thursdays, in the future, if we don't get our officials squared away, there could be an official shortage in Indiana sports where there may have to be some crews that do Thursday games. So you may have a Thursday night under the lights just because there's not enough teams out, or excuse me, not enough officiating crews to cover the game. So that's something that we got to get young people involved in officiating, get them out there in order to avoid that.
Chad Gilbert with us. That's an interesting point. Let's get into some other high school stuff around these same topics. High school football Friday night. Your Pirates, man, the one upset in the area, the game that didn't go the way everybody, the consensus, I think, thought it would go, would be Charlestown losing to Salem just a few weeks ago. They played that regular season game, was also at Salem, and Charlestown pretty much had no issues with them in the regular season side of things. But Friday night was a different story.
Well, that's what makes the tournament so much fun and so much exciting. It's one and done. And, you know, you got to be at your best, and there's a lot of factors that come into play in football. You know, our kids, our coaching staff, they didn't go up there with the intention of losing at Salem. They went up there with every thing that they planned on doing to win. But you get different factors come in that, where you come in, the weather comes into play, you know, whether it's how the bus trip goes, how anything else is involved with it. A lot of factors come into play that one, but that's what makes it so much fun, is it's one and done. You know, one loss and you're out. And, you know, in Pirate Nation, we're in a shock right now. You know, we're dumbfounded. You can tell today I'm stammering and stubborn. I'm still shocked over it. But it's one of those deals that you try to move on. You know, Coach Hawkins will collect the equipment just like many other teams will today. They'll set their banquets, then they'll get back in the weight room. And that's what it is. You know, you got guys fall off the horse. It's how you get back on. How you get back on, how you get better, and how you keep driving forward.
Chad, how about volleyball? We always talk about how good this area has become for high school volleyball. A number of programs in the area heading on past the regional round after winning regional championship matches on Saturday night. None more impressive than Providence, though. They're a 2A school by enrollment. Their success factor formula has weighed in to move them up 3A and now to 4A, and I think this is the second year they're competing in the 4A class in volleyball, and they win against a very good Castle team. You kind of previewed that last Monday, predicting that might be an interesting matchup with some high-level players on both teams. Providence is headed to a 4A semi-state.
Oh, it's an exciting time for Providence, and I think that they played the team that knocked them out. I think Avon's who knocked them out last year, if I'm not mistaken. So they'll have an opportunity to have a rematch in order to go to the championship, which was kind of cool because Yorktown on the north side of the state has moved up to 4A as well. So if Providence can get by Avon this weekend, they'll have an opportunity to play Yorktown again in a rematch from 2 years ago at the 2A level. So it's interesting how that worked, but the success and the culture that Terry Parrica has brought into Providence is unmatched. If I'm a coach, I'm a basketball coach, baseball, football, I study her just to develop that culture and that everybody on the same team, because it's not easy. You know, people are going to Providence. There's some kids going there that have grown up and they want to be a Providence volleyball player. So she's got to sort that out and put her best kids on the court and do that with a culture that allows everyone to be rooting for each other and competing against each other. So she's second to none in that category. Hope that they have a good weekend this week in advance, along with the Silver Creek Dragons.
Chad Gilbert, Charlestown's athletic director, IHSAA executive board member with us on Mondays. Rondell Moore, I've talked about him some already today, a New Albany guy, played his last 2 years of high school football at Trinity. Every time I see him make one of these great juke moves on the football field, I wonder if he had stayed with basketball, how good he could have been in the sport of basketball. A little small as in size, as in height maybe, but my goodness, he's athletic, and my goodness, his first step, all of his steps are so quick. He really could have been and was becoming. Later in his sophomore year, we forget that he was a part of the state championship team at New Albany, that he had a great ability on defense to stay with his defenders and shut people down, even as a sophomore with his thick body that he had, even at that point, which obviously has increased and grown very much since that time. But I always wonder, as I watch him out there, with football, obviously that's his calling, that's his sport. He's one of the best freshmen in the country. No telling what lies ahead for him on the football field. But I always wonder where he would be at with basketball had he focused in on that.
Well, you know, Matt, one thing I said, good luck to Silver Creek as well, but Christian Academy also advancing to the semi-state.
Yes.
But on Rondell Moore, what an unbelievable talent. You know, this is playing prime time. This kid's a true freshman. You know, a lot of people come out of high school in football and they redshirt that first year. This guy was in high school last year. He's on big time, big stage, Big Ten, and he's out there doing his thing, Matt. It's unbelievable what he does. Chris Fowler said, folks, we may be watching the most best freshman in the country on offense. Unbelievable. The strength that he has, the ability to make people miss. And he's so much like Romeo in a way. He's unflappable. He doesn't get rattled. You know, he missed a pass. He came back and made up for it two plays later. He's very focused on the game. He goes out there and he does his job and understands the most important play is the next play. But you talk about him on basketball, the thing that gets me with him, he's a winner. And if you think back about when he was a sophomore that year at the Seymour Regional, he hit 6-for-6 down the stretch against Bloomington South to win that game, first game of the regional, and came in, you know, off the bench as a sub and stepped up and hit that again as a sophomore in high school. So, you know, those things, he's worked to have that, but he's got a demeanor about himself that he's confident, and he knows that he trusts the process, and what he's done has prepared him for the big stage. So it's awesome to see him out there working what he does, and, you know, he's somebody you're going to see on Sundays.
Chad, college basketball is just around the corner. I'm excited about a Louisville-Bellarmine scrimmage that takes place. I think it's on Sunday of this week. Obviously, Bellarmine is kind of – they're my adopted college basketball team that I love to follow. Their games, Coach Davenport, the environment that they have now with some of the improvements that have been made at Knights Hall, and best of all, the Southern Indiana connection that Bellarmine has – recruiting lots of great players over a number of years from our immediate area that have been big parts of some of the best teams in history, including a national championship team. They had three or four players from Southern Indiana if you start here and go west to Evansville. But that said, it's always an interesting game. Bellarmine can compete with U of L basically each and every year. They can't always beat them, but this is a good game for them to get their season started. It reminds me that I've got the chance when there is a free evening to hit a Bellarmine game and see some of those guys as well. And then, of course, IU and USI, Southern Indiana, that game coming up as a scrimmage in just a few days away, 10 days, in fact, from today, and probably nobody more well-versed on USI, as that's where you went, that's where you won a national championship, and even Bellarmine than you are. You get that level of basketball, you know how good it can be, and you know that both of those programs have big opportunities playing some D1 local teams coming up, and both of those teams are going to be really good in GLVC Division II basketball this year.
Well, I had an opportunity to watch Bellarmine practice, and you know the love I have for Coach Davenport. You know, he's outstanding. No, his coaching ability never has and never will be questioned. He's as good as there is at any level. The one who's really caught my eye over here is his son, Doug. Doug is an outstanding coach, and what he's developed in is, you know, the same things that Scotty has done over the years, and he's got that, and he continues to take that with a younger age to him. You know, he's how Scotty is at 35 years old. And it's unbelievable the amount of knowledge that Doug Davenport has and brings to this program over here. This program is, you know, as a USI, a GLVC member, and to see Bellarmine do what they're doing is just nothing less than remarkable. There's 8 guys on the roster from Indiana. And you walk in the gym, and there's a banner that retires Braden Hobbs, the former New Albany star, Braden Hobbs' jersey. and the outstanding career he played here. Jeremy Kendall, who I coached in middle school, an outstanding career here. Justin Benedetti, those guys got him going. Luke Sprague down at Castle, those guys really got the ball rolling. And this year, you know, with eight Indiana kids on the roster, Bellarmine's set to make a huge, huge run in a national championship, which will be played in Evansville. But going back to this Saturday, they're going to get Louisville's best test. This is Coach Mack's first game out of the chute, and if you don't think that they're not going to come at that full bore trying to win, you're crazy. He's trying to set the tone right away, as he should. So it will be Bellarmine will be getting Louisville's best shot. Now, Bellarmine, they've been in this thing before. This is going to be an opportunity for a gauge on them to see for the upcoming season to go at it. But it will be a lot of fun. And like you said, to watch Bellarmine play the game, the lost art in basketball is passing. They put the ball in the shooter's hands on time, on target, and play for each other. They're the most unselfish team that I've ever seen in my life. And it's not just – we talked about culture with Coach Parika. The culture that Coach Davenport has put here, the team before we, it's unbelievable. And these kids all play for each other. They play for their university, and they play for their coach. So it's a great atmosphere to come around here. And to see those things going this time of year, it's a great opportunity because when I was in school, we always think, what would it be like to play against Kentucky? What would it be like to play against Louisville? And, you know, USI next week is going up against Romeo at Indiana. So it's an opportunity that these guys are going to live, have their whole life. They're going to be able to share with their kids, and they're going to be able to talk, you know, and tell the experience that goes on with it. So it's a great opportunity for the Division II programs to get out there and get that taste of what it's like, and a great opportunity for the Division I's to get a good test of where they stand right now as they open up the season here in a couple weeks.
That's Chad Gilbert with us every Monday on the Hoosier Report. We got a roll. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 o'clock right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.